Blog Talk Radio.
Blessings and glory.
I will bless the Lord at all times, and his praises shall continually be in my mouth. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. Hallelujah. Thank you for joining us today on They Overcame. And I am just so excited about our guest today, Pastor Helen Johnson, an awesome woman of God. You know, God is just so good. Called my husband the other day because things are not going the way that I thought that they were going to go with the broadcast, but God is in control. And when you let God have full control, then he controls it. Hallelujah. Good morning, honey. How are you? Okay, I don't know. Baby, can you hear me? Because I can't hear you. Okay, try it again, honey, because I didn't hear you at all. Okay, I don't know if even though you can hear me. Can you hear me, honey? Okay. Well, until I'm able to get him on the line, I just want to thank the Lord for this day and for the many blessings that he has blessed this broadcast with, and the blessing the broadcast he has really given me a blessing. I often say if I don't see a lot of callers on, but then when I get in the week someone that says I was really blessed by the broadcast, or you know, giving me kudos, which I don't deserve kudos because this is God's thing. God is the one that's doing this thing, and so I just give thanks to him. Okay, let's try it again. Honey, are you there?
Good morning, and God bless you.
Okay, now I can hear you. I don't know what the problem was, maybe in my problem. But anyway, honey, I see our guest is on, so you want to go on and give us our opening prayer. I thank God for my husband. He's just such an awesome man of God and such a blessing to me, and blessed me with these beautiful sons, and he's just an awesome man. And we have a testimony also. So go ahead and open us up, honey.
Amen. Father, in Jesus' name, we love you, we praise you, we thank you for this day. You are good, you are awesome, you are mighty, you are glorious, you are our provider, you are our healer, you are our keeper, you are our savior, you are our everything. There is nothing too hard for you, and Father, everything that we need, we can come to you, and you just provide our every need. You are just so faithful, Lord God. We love you and we praise you. We thank you for this day. We thank you for this broadcast on this morning. morning. We thank you for our guests and what you are going to do through them, Lord God. In the name of Jesus, we just pray your anointing upon this broadcast, upon every word that is spoken, every testimony shared. Hallelujah. Every listener that tunes in, we pray your blessing upon them. Let these words be ministry, ministry of whatever it is that they need, providing healing, deliverance, encouragement, hope. In the name of Jesus, just let your will be done. In Jesus' name, we thank you and we praise you. Hallelujah. Amen.
Amen. Well, we have today an awesome woman of God, and I thank God. I don't know her. She was a referral. Because I don't get the calls in, and that's why I say that the broadcast is not going the way that I plan for it to go, because my plan is that people will call in and give testimony. And at a time, I guess, we will get that. We will get to that. Or maybe this is the way that the Lord is directing the broadcast in the first place. But this woman of God is, she gave me a little of her story, and just like the other testimonies that have come on, just powerful of what God can do in your life, willingly or not. Sometimes as parents, you know, we look at what's happening with our children, and they may not be living the way that we want them to live or doing the things that we think they should be doing. But after walking with the Lord for a while, you find out that God is in control. And if we stop worrying and just believe that he is able to do exceedingly and abundantly above that we can ask or even think, how awesome is that? He can do above that we can, because I have a very vivid mind, and I could think of some things, but God can do above that. And I know a lot of times we use that scripture concerning giving. But in anything, you know, we can give that scripture. And I just thank God for Pastor Helen Johnson. She is one of the leaders of All Nations Worship Assembly, and her pastor is Apostle Matthew and Camila, I guess I'm saying that name right, Stevenson's, and if I'm not mistaken, I'm going to bring her on now. If I'm not mistaken, they were just blessed with a new arrival to their family. Good morning, Pastor Johnson.
Good morning.
Thank you for waking up early this morning and joining us.
Well, no problem. I'll count it an honor and a blessing.
Amen. And your pastor and first lady or co-pastor, I don't know exactly what her title is, but they were just blessed with a baby. Is that right?
Yes, this would be baby number 3, baby Kyra Sarai.
Amen. Yes, I was talking to Pastor, Mayberry, and Saturday they were, I guess she had gone into labor, and so we pray for them, and we thank God for that safe delivery of a healthy baby girl.
Yes.
Amen. Well, we are just so honored that you would share your testimony with us, and just tell us a little bit about Pastor Johnson. I often say, or always say, that when we're giving testimony on this platform, at least, our life is our testimony. Everything that God has done for us, everything that you know, every plateau that he has taken us to in our life, even in our growth. You know, we all, when we look back, once we come into the light, when we look back and we say, okay, well, God was orchestrating that. So I count that as a testimony. So before you get into your main testimony, just give us a little bit about Pastor Johnson. Are you married? Do you have children? You told me that you were born on the South Side. You're a South Sider. Woo-hoo! And so yes. Was I. I'm from the South Side of Chicago also. So just give us a little bit about you.
Well, my name is Pastor Helen Johnson. I was born in the South Side of Chicago, raised in the projects of Chicago. Even though I lived in the projects didn't live in me, amen. I am a single mom of a daughter who recently began her first year of high school. So that's a brand new set of challenges a heightened prayer points that are going into effect. But she is a well-rounded young lady. She's smart. She has a head on. She loves God, and so I'm grateful for that. I attend, as you said, All Nations Worship Assembly under the leadership of Apostle Matthew and Apostle Camila Stevenson. I'm currently leading our women's ministry called Adore Women's Ministry, which stands for Idonized Daughters of Royalty Emerging, because we are always developing and coming into who God has called us to be. I also train the altar workers, and I am a teacher in a class that we have called New Images, which is a great class. And we actually, before anyone is able to serve in ministry, this class is a prerequisite, because it causes us to understand how can you affect and how can you work in a group setting. What makes you think the way you think, act the way you act? Let's deal with those issues of your soul so that you can be as effective as you can in ministry. And so it's a class where we really dig deep. We go back into childhood. We cause people to begin to talk about things that they never talked about, any strongholds they're dealing with. And so it is a wonderful class. I just simply love it. I'm also the oldest of three girls, so that I'm the oldest. I have a sister that's 4 years younger and 6 years younger than me. And that's where I am right now. And that's who I am.
Amen. Amen. Well, you have a full plate at the church. Those are some awesome things. And it's so vitally important, I believe, that those strongholds are brought down in our lives. And so that's just awesome of your pastor. And as Pastor Mayberry was giving us a little of his life, and he told us that Pastor Matthew, and I have a Matthew, he's Timothy Matthew, how he was instrumental in helping him even through high school. So I am excited about that young man, and plan on, if he will join us, to give his testimony also. He sounds like a very, very dedicated man of God. And I just thank God, you know, that even though I'm not in Chicago anymore, I am still connected with Chicago and praying for, you know, the things that are happening there and around the world. But mainly, you know, like you said, a heightened prayer because she's your daughter. My prayer is because that's my home. That's my home there in Chicago. Amen. So what project were you raised in?
Baptist originally.
No.
And it's funny I'm sorry.
But where I was, you know, you can go on with that, but I was saying, once you get through with that, I was saying, what project were you raised in?
The project, I grew up in Archer Courts, which is in Chinatown on 22nd Street, and then later in Robert Taylor Homes, that was on State Street.
Okay. Yes. I visited the Robert Taylor home when I was younger with some neighbors of ours, and I was not used to the environment. And so I remember I went upstairs to use the restroom, was scared. It took me forever to go upstairs. And then once I got upstairs, I wouldn't go back downstairs. I was scared. I was scared. But you have to be a strong woman to have lived and survived and to become a mighty woman of God living in that environment. That,
it was definitely a challenge. Yeah, it was definitely a challenge. Looking at the hopelessness of people, that's all that they knew, and they didn't aspire to have anything more or want anything better for their life. But it was something in me that just always knew that that was not the end.
Yeah.
And one thing I can praise my mother for is she would take us on the bus, and at that time, going to 95th Street to Evergreen Plaza was a trip because it was out of the environment. And so I thank my mother for that. It may have been the small things, but they planted seeds on the inside to let me know that this is not it. This is not all.
Yeah. So now what were you saying about your church?
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you said what denomination did I come up in.
Oh.
And so that's why I had asked the Baptist. Yeah.
No, but you can go on. I mean, go on and tell us. Like I said, that's a part of your testimony also.
Absolutely. And it's, you know, my mother, she believed in God. She prayed, but she never went to church. But what she did do is to make sure that her children went. And so while she would not go, she would send us every Sunday. And as I said, we were raised in a Baptist denomination. But at that time, I didn't understand a relationship with God. I understood you should go to church because that's what you should do on a Sunday. So it was a routine. Without relationship. But even in that routine, I understood the importance of having God in my life. And so, again, that seed was planted. And, you know, as you get older and you get in high school and you think, because there is no relationship, you think, oh, I don't need to go to church. What do I need to do that for? And then that comes its own challenges and things that you have to face. But I thank God that I came to a point where I understood what relationship with God was and what that meant and what that did for my life. So even to any parent that's sending their child right now and not going themselves, understand the seed that you're planting.
Yeah, that is, even you don't realize, but God is orchestrating things that are happening in our lives that as we are growing up, and those seeds that are planted, good or bad, will germinate and come to fruition. You know, they will grow, and so it is very important that we think about what we're doing to our children. Well, I just thank God for you joining us this morning. Like I said, I talked to some of my friends there. You know, ask them to be on. They say, I don't get up that early on Saturday. I work all week. I don't. But I have something exciting to tell you, then I'll call. But I just thank God. I'm so blessed every Saturday to be able to hear the testimonies of what God is doing. And if it does nothing but inspire me to know that there is nothing that is too hard for God. This broadcast does. And so, radio audience, if you listen to us over the internet or if you go back into the archives and listen, I pray that my husband and I pray that you're blessed and that you're inspired and that your faith is built a little more to hear the things that God is doing. My church is the Apostolic Pentecostal Church of Morgan Park in Morgan Park area, and actually they're in their 90th church anniversary this week, and I thank God they've streamed it, so I've been able to be a part of the evening services, you know, to hear and to see my pastor, and I don't know why I said that, but anyway, you can go on, Pastor, You know, just thinking about seeds and, you know, that I was, that's my, as Pastor Linda Jernigan says, that's her, that's my new birth. You know, my new birth that was there and, you know, built a relationship with God there. And that's so important to, there are a lot of people that are attending church now. And that's why I'm so thankful and amazed that your pastor has developed things to develop people for the kingdom. It's not just going to church. It's not just, you know, sitting in the congregation. And that's the politically right thing to do. But building that relationship with God is what is vitally important. What makes you stay? excuse me. Well, I don't want to preach, but as Johnson, and give us your testimony of what the Lord is doing and has done in Pastor Johnson's life.
Amen. Well, my testimony is that I am a delivered crack addict. And it's funny because the enemy can deceive you even in your dysfunction, where I thought I was a functional crack addict because I could still get up and go to work every day. But once I left work and entered the doors of my home, I was held captive and in bondage in my own home. But to revert back somewhat, to let you know that it doesn't start there. It really starts far back in your childhood. My mom was a teenage mom. She was 16 years old when she had me. And so in that, of course, she didn't have any idea of what it meant to be a mother. She didn't know what I needed. And so a lot of times I was raised by my aunt. And so by the time my mom was 22, she had three daughters by two different men. So she never graduated from high school. During that time, she finally got her GED when she was in her 30s, and I'm grateful for that. But one thing she did instill was the importance of education and the importance of praying, because God would always answer prayers, no matter what it seems like. So that was that seed that was planted, that God would always answer prayers. And no matter what I went through, I could always rely on that. My mom, she, by having me so young, you know, not understanding what it meant to be a mother, in her later years, she actually drank a lot. She never considered herself an alcoholic, but she was by every term of it. She had a hard life. She was molested by her uncle and was never ever to tell anyone. She dealt with a lot of low self-esteem, not really understanding who she was, not a lot of education. She held on to a lot of unforgiveness and a lot of bitterness. And then she held into some condemnation that was not rightfully hers. She never knew her mother. At the age of two, her mom died in front of her. And for years, up until the last 10 years ago, she felt that she was the cause of her mother's death. She was 2 years old, and you know how little two-year-olds are running around and getting into things. And so she was running around in the kitchen getting into things, and her mom yelled at her to stop, get out of that. Right after that, she fell and collapsed on the floor, and she died of a stroke. At 2 years old, you don't know that your mother's having a stroke. All that you can remember is she was yelling at me, and now I'm the cause of her death. And so she held on to that thing for over 30 years, thinking that she was the cause of her mother's death. And I just thank God that he had brought me to a place at that time in my life where I could minister to her, to have her know that it was not her fault and that she was able to forgive herself. And so I bless God for that. My father, I did not know him. He was not in my life. Even though I knew of him, and I can have early remembrances of going to visit him and his mother, you know, those small glimpses, but he was never in my life. And, you know, growing up in the projects, nine times out of ten, that's a single parent, and it's typically the mother. So for me, not having a father was normal, but those children who had fathers was abnormal. Now, how perverted is that?
Yes.
And so I never understood the importance of what a father represented. And so when I did finally begin to build that relationship with Christ years later, it was hard because I never knew what that looked like. I never knew what it meant to be loved. I never knew what it meant to be said, you are beautiful. I never knew what it meant to receive love. And so that was a difficult process in the beginning of my relationship with God, to be able to embrace his love, to receive his love with nothing in return. And so that was a process that I had to learn, and I had to endure. I had some challenges up and down, but I'm so grateful and so thankful that I came to understand just how much he loved me. And so it was that, and, you know, growing up and in high school, I was never a promiscuous type of girl. I was really kind of a loner. And I was always the one that people could come and talk to, can tell their problems because they knew that I wouldn't tell them, tell anybody else. But I was always able to give them sound advice and wisdom, not knowing what it was at that time, and that was something that God had placed on the inside of me. But even then, he was working, and I didn't know it. And so with that, when you're a loner, you isolate yourself a lot, and you don't understand who you are because you don't see yourself as having any validity. And so when people would say, you know, that really helped me, the enemy's tactic against me has always been all of my life is, who are you? You don't have nothing to say. Look at your situation. How can you tell somebody else something? How can you encourage somebody else? You don't have this and you don't have that and you are not this. And so that has always been his tactic. And it's so funny because we give the enemy so much more credit than he deserves. He takes one little thing, and he will twist it and turn it so many different ways to deceive you, to lie to you, but it's all that same thing. And so I came to understand later in life that, okay, you try to attack me in who you tell me that I'm not, but it's something when you find out who you are.
Yes.
And so in that, I got involved with the wrong crowd for a sense of wanting to belong to something and be a part of something, when what it really was rejection that I was dealing with, and I never knew it. I put it under the terms of, like I said, loner. But people who are loners are really those who are rejected. Mm. And so I came to realize that, and in that rejection, I started hanging out with people because I wanted to fit in, because I wanted to belong, because I wanted to be accepted. And it all started out with smoking marijuana at first. It was normal for me. My mother did it. And then when my stepfather came along, who was older, he sold it. So it was always at my disposal. And so it started from something so simple and so small. And I always told myself, that's it. I will never do anything else. I will never try anything else. This is it. But that was not it. And so just years and years of just doing that and drinking and all of that, a friend of mine introduced me to cocaine. So now it's the next level and it's the next step. I resisted it for so long, for so long. Until it was a point in my life where everything seemed to be going wrong. Everything seemed to be going wrong. And I turned to that as a source of comfort because of what I was told and how it can make you feel, and you wouldn't have any cares of life, and you wouldn't be able to, it'll take you away from everything. And so I tried it. The first time I tried cocaine, I tried it on marijuana. So at that time, it's what they call primos. And so I started smoking it along with marijuana. And just the feeling that it gave me, that it took me to a place where I didn't have to deal with the pressures of life.
Mm.
And so, you know, that's what pharmakia does. It takes you to a place where you feel like you don't have to deal with the pressures of life, that, you know, you're on this vacation somewhere far away. But what happened was that when that was over with and you come back to reality, you still have to face these things. They've not changed. They've only taken you, the drugs only took you out of the situation for a moment. So after that, here in my 20s, I started hanging out with drug dealers. You know, that was the end thing back then, you know, hanging out with drug dealers. And I'm riding in cars while they're making drops. I'm sitting there counting money. You know, sowed the seed thinking all of this was cute. Because what am I getting? I'm getting a purse. You know, I'm getting dinner. Those things that I deemed important because I never had them. And then it got to a point where, okay, this looks easy. So now me and my friend, we're going to try to sell it. So just moving into that realm of things. And in the midst of that, hanging with different guys who sold drugs, crack came on the scene. And again, I will never do that. Me, cocaine and marijuana, we are okay. I will never do that. And sitting there learning how to cook it, how to bag it, all of this, all while I'm still working, all while I'm going to school, but yeah, living this totally different life on the side. But my family didn't know. My coworkers had no clue. And so I was living almost this double life. And so it got to a point where I'm just going to try it and see what the big buzz is. What is everybody talking about? I can handle this. This will not have control over me. I'll have control over it. And at that very first time of sitting and trying it, it was a feeling that I had never felt before. It's even unexplainable to this day, but it's like something totally takes control of you, where you lose all sense of time, you lose all sense of who you are. It just literally took control. And so it started out casually, once a week, on the weekends, until it got to the point where now it started to be every other day. It started to be not every other day, now I need it every day. So I would go to work daily, do my work and function. I would come home, and once I hit home, I would lock myself in, and I would sit there, and I would just smoke. No one knew the difference. The only thing they knew is, oh, you are losing weight. You must really be working out. That's not what I was doing. And then it got to a point where I would start to begin to see myself like I would see the people on the street who had lost total control. I started missing work. I started calling in because I didn't want to do anything but sit there with my new friend. I closed everybody out. I didn't want to talk to anyone because this is all I wanted and this is all that I felt that I needed. There was a friend that I had. We had parties at her house every weekend. Every weekend. And the thing is, she was a PK kid, but she had strayed away herself. And I'll never forget, one day out of the clear blue sky, she said, I'm stopping all parties. I can't do this anymore. I am going back to the Lord. My words, you go right on ahead. I'm not. And in that time, I just sank deeper and deeper and deeper in this hole, in this pit, so to speak, that I just felt like when I tried to climb up out of it, I couldn't. I had shut everyone out. Nobody knew what was going on, so I couldn't even call anybody for help. And I remember this one time. It's so vivid and it's so clear. I was sitting and I had been getting high for the entire day. The entire day. And this was around about 8 or 9 in the evening. I had gotten so high that I didn't even remember where I was. All that I remember is sitting in the corner. And I was sitting in the corner underneath this window in my apartment. And there was something that happened that I had never experienced before. You see it in movies where darkness seems to come in and it seems to overshadow you. I could literally see and feel and sense death had entered into that room. Literally, it was pitch black. I was in the middle of a dark hole. And I could see faces. I could see things that were not normal. And all I thought it was the drugs. I just thought I had just really went to a place where I have really been, you know, lifted into another atmosphere. And I was. It was a realm of the demonic that I was not even ready for. And then what I felt on the inside, I literally felt death. And I knew that I was going to die that night. I knew it. There was not a shadow of doubt within me that that night I was going to die. The enemy was coming for me. And all that I can remember is the seed that my mother had planted is that if you call on him, he will answer. All I could do at that time was cry out. There's two types of crying. It is a cry of desperation that says, God, I need you. And there's a cry of deliberation that, God, I want you. My cry was a cry of desperation. All that I could call out was the name of Jesus. And ask, please don't let me, God, please save me. Please save me. And it's at that moment that literally it's like light just started shining through all the midst of that darkness. And you know how the sun rises up in the morning and you have your windows open and as light comes in to wake you up? That's what happened. And it was at that moment that Jesus became real to me. Even in the midst of all of my, you know, how high I was at that moment, I knew that he was real. And I picked up the phone and I called my friend and I said, I need to go to church with you on Sunday. I need to. And so I mustered up enough strength. She picked me up, took me to church. And you know how you are in sin and you go to church and it seems like the preacher is preaching directly towards you. Like, man, how did you know all of this about me? And I'm just walking in this door. Everything he said seemed like it pertained to me. And all I could do was weep, and all I can do was cry. And it was at that moment I had to make a choice. Do I want to live or do I want to die? And I chose to live. But the climb to live was not easy. It's a process. And it's in that process that a lot of people fall. A lot of people fail because they cannot endure the process. And so it took years, even after that, just to admit it to my friend what I had been going through. And she just wept because she had no idea. I never told my family. I never told my sister. I never told my mother for fear of what they would think about me. And it was through this time of now starting to attend church on a regular basis that I really began to allow God to deal with me. He had to get through condemnation. He had to get through the regret. He had to get through the unforgiveness towards myself. He had to get through how I viewed myself. He had to get through so many layers, and he still is. We are continually growing and we are continually evolving and continually understanding who we are in him. So that has not stopped. But then the values of what I taught, what I saw, what I believed, he had to come against those when they did not line up with his word. And that's a hard thing. When you think that how you've been taught, what you've done, the control you've had over your own life is the right way, and for Holy Spirit to come in and say, no, this is not the way. This is the way. It's hard. It's hard to shift your perspective. It's hard to change your paradigm. It's hard to let go of what you believed as truth and accept the real truth. And so that process took years to get me to the point of where I am now. And it wasn't until one Easter, one Resurrection Sunday, my pastor asked me to write a play. We want to do something different. You know, we really want the people to know that God is a restorer, that God can cause you to change, that he can do a work in your life where it's not visible to anybody. And so in this play, he wanted leaders to tell their testimony, who were ready to tell their testimony, because, you know, some people have overcome, but they're still entangled in shame, or they don't want anyone to know who they were. But do you know, when you allow people to know who you were and they see who you are now, they understand the power in Jesus.
And so the
play was four different stories. And at the end of the story, the person whose testimony it was came up. And to see the looks on people's faces, like, I had no idea. That's when you know that you are truly delivered, when there is no residue, when there is no resemblance of the former man. And so when my part came up and I came up, just to be able to say where God has brought me from and to look at me now brought tears to my eyes, because the person that's going through, the person that God is dealing with right now, asking you and showing you that this is not you, even when you think that it's too hard, even when you think that you can't do it, give God a try. You tried everything else, and I tried everything else but Jesus. But when I tried him, he did not fail me.
Amen.
And so to look back, and then now to see the lives that I am able to impact, to be able to go in and share my testimony with people, to be even able to, over the pulpit, say, this is who I was, and have people come up and say, I would have never known. You've given me so much hope. I didn't think that I was able to do it. Looking at you, I know I can do it, because I had no idea.
Yeah.
So God is able to do anything.
Is that the same play? I'm sorry for interrupting. That's the same play that Pastor Mayberry was in, correct?
Yes. Yes.
He told us, gave us that in his testimony about the play. That's just amazing. Now, when you were doing, and I'm sorry, are you finished?
Mm-hmm.
Not finished, but when you were in your drug, and I understand that I have a friend that has, oh my God, I don't know how many years she's been addicted, and she's a functioning addict even at this point, I believe she is. She never tells me the truth. She never, you know, I try to get it out of her, but she never tells me the truth. But anyway, you said that you had a daughter. So what did you do with her during the times that you were getting high?
Well, at that time, I hadn't had her. I had her after I was delivered.
Oh, okay.
But I have shared my testimony with her because I want her to understand. You know, with teenagers nowadays, they think you haven't, as a parent, you haven't gone through anything. That,
right.
What's the word they use? You're lame. You know, you don't understand. And so I shared my testimony with her for her to know that who you see now is not who I've always been. And so when I can say, this friend here is not good for you, or you shouldn't go this route, or you shouldn't do this, it's helped her to have a better understanding that maybe mama just might know what she's talking about. You know, put past the hell and the sign that everybody knows, but maybe mama may know just what she's talking about. And so sometimes as parents, we still deal with a little bit of shame of who we used to be. And at first I thought, you know, she never needs to know. That'll give way to the enemy in her life. It gives way to the enemy in her life if I don't let her know. Because then it opens her up to be able to come and talk to me. And so I'm just grateful that I was able to share that with her. And she does not hold that against me. And she has no reference point to go back to know me as that person that I was. She only sees me for who I am now.
Yes,
and that's a blessing.
It is a blessing. And we, you know, we try to hide, even if in the church you expose
mm-hmm.
yourself, still we try to hide sometimes the things from our children. And then they look at us like you said, like, you don't know. You've never been here. You can't relate to what I'm going through. And it does make them look at you differently when they can say, you know, I know your story. I know where you've come from. I know how you, you know, how God, because it's not us. It's not what we can do. It's what God is doing in us and bringing us up. I always quote the scripture that we are written epistles read of men. God is writing our story for people to read it, to see him, to see what he can do. If there's no situation that is too hard, I never tried crack. I smoked marijuana, and I liked speed. Speed was my thing when I was a young woman. But when I got saved, I still like, you know, fast. So I didn't like anything that was stagnant. Now, do you find that you, even though you had that experience, you know, in your life, it still, you brought it over to, you still can do or relate. Okay, this is what I like. I don't know how to explain it, but I like speed. I like doing speed. So I didn't like anything slow. When I got saved, and my family didn't know what I was doing, but when I got saved at a small church that was kind of stagnant. And so when my aunt came, she knew this about my personality. She said, you don't, this is not the church that you need to be in. You know, God birthed you here, but this is not where you need to be. And so I was put in, she didn't put me, I moved my church to Morgan Park. And it was full of young people, it was full of life. We were doing things all the time, you know, in ministry. We were just doing things. Can you see that your life, how your life related to what you liked in the world when you were in your drug addiction? I know that you said you kind of stayed away from people, but then you joined.
I'm sorry, Minister Billy. You were breaking up a little. Can you ask your question again?
I'm sorry. I was having problems with my microphone. But I was saying that in my life, because I like fast things, I like movement, I don't like stagnant.
stagnation, mm-hmm. or however the word is. But I can see where my life outside of Christ is kind of relative to, you know, the things that I like that I like now. I don't like, you know, deadness. I don't like where you're not doing anything. I want to be doing something, even at the age that I am now. I want to be doing something. I don't want to just be sitting still. Do you find that your life is relevant? Can you relate to how you felt outside of Christ to now? Or is it just like a total different paradigm in your life?
Yes, I can. I have, because I had shut everybody out and I was just used to being me, myself, and I, even with my sisters. Once I was in Christ, it was hard for me to build relationships. And so even now, you know, in service, you know, working with the women, you have all of me. But outside of that, it's just me. And so now I'm learning how to extend myself, how to open myself, how to allow people in, how to extend myself in relationships, how to go out with other women and just go to dinner, have conversations, go to the movies. It has extended over. And so, but God is breaking that. Slowly but surely, it's being broken as I relinquish it to Him. And that's the key. I've got to give to Him. I've got to admit that this is where I still struggle with. And I've got to allow the Spirit to come in and deal with me. And those, whatever those fears are, because they're fears. For me, they're fears. Fears of, well, will they really like me? Helen. Well, they like Helen. Not Pastor Helen. Because, you know, as you know, people can see you and put you on these pedestals and idolize you because of the anointing or the gift on your life. But the human side of you, they can't necessarily deal with. And so that had been my apprehension of extending myself and building relationships. But what I had to learn is that even in that, Helen has something to offer as well. Helen has faults. Helen has shortcomings. Helen don't have it all together, and Helen is a work in process.
Yes.
And so, yes.
Mm-hmm. When we feel like we've arrived, that's
absolutely
dangerous. That's
absolutely
very dangerous. Amen. So that is awesome. It never amazes me, but it just awestruck me, the things that God is doing. You don't know what's happening in people's lives. You don't know the struggles that they're having. And that's why I admire, you were talking about the ministry that you do. It's like a new members class kind of thing.
Yeah, it's called New Images.
Right, right. Tell us a little bit about that, because that is so vitally important. You know, we bring people come into the kingdom and they worship with us, and they, because of the zeal that they have, or because of maybe it's a natural ministry that God has given them, that they just come in and they start working in the church. And opening up people to the different struggles that they're having, and it extends over. If you're struggling with something, you can't be effective really in ministry. And so that's why your pastor developed that class, or whoever developed the class. But tell us a little bit about that class.
Well, the missions of New Images is to bring an understanding and revelation to those things that may have hindered a person in their life, their character, their mindset, you know, family dysfunctions, anything. And so the goal of it is to call those who participate in it, is to become aware of these things and to admit that they have dysfunctions that they've got strongholds and mindsets that, you know, that keep them bound. It helps them begin to search out what the root is of that thing so that healing can begin. And so what it does is, and you'll be surprised at that, a lot of people, one question we ask is, who believes they were raised in a dysfunctional family? And you will have those that won't raise their hands because they think that because they were raised with a mother and a father, that there was no dysfunction. But once we get to digging and finding out, well, how were you raised? What were you taught? Was your father there for you? Even though he was in the house, was he there for you? Could you talk to him? Could he relate to you? What was the relationship with your mother like? What is the relationship with your sisters like? Because family is where the first relationship is built. And so depending on the foundation that that's built on, you're going to take that throughout life. You're going to take it to school. You're going to take it through jobs. You're going to take it in ministry. It's going to follow you. And so we dig deep into those things. And it's just amazing to see people, the eyes of their understanding be enlightened. For them to say, I never knew that's why I felt that way. I never knew that's why I thought that way. And so we the purpose of the class is laying X to the root. We want to get to the root. And you may not even understand or know that there's a root, but that class is going to get you to the root. And so it's really a class based off of them, how much they are willing and how much they want to be free. And so we've had people that have shared things that have never been shared before that they promised to take to the grave. We've had them be able to open up about things they've endured, molestation, abuse, all of that. It is like a 10-week course. We meet once a week, and it's for 2 hours. And so in those 2 hours, we are digging, and we are digging deep. And at the end of the class, just to see the new image that has emerged, it is awesome. When people get to really see themselves, because a lot of times we can be deceived about who we really are because we don't believe we have these issues or we don't see those issues and we're in denial. And so one thing I love about this class is that people are no longer in denial. And they're no longer in denial, but now they're understanding why they were in denial in the first place and what it takes to no longer go back in that way and be who they were. So it causes them to change their interactions. It causes them to change their thoughts. It causes them to now have mercy on others where they didn't have before. It causes them now to forgive easier than it did before. That's a class that I would admonish any ministry, especially for those coming up in leadership. It is so meaningful because then it causes you to be able to serve people in a greater capacity because you'll have a greater level of mercy. You'll have a greater level of love. You won't look at the person, but you'll be able to see the spirit behind it. So it's a wonderful class. I so enjoy it. I so enjoy it.
Is there a handbook that you use, or is I see that so vitally important for not just your ministry, but ministries of other churches? And maybe I'm sure that Pastor John Eckhart has maybe something out on that. But is there a book or a handbook? That people can get and use in their ministry?
There is a manual that we use. It's called the New Images Manual. It's by Theo Johnson. Unfortunately, the manual is no longer in production, but if there is a ministry that would like to get a copy of the manual, they can contact me, and I can give you my contact information, and we can most definitely mail them a copy of the manual. But there is a manual, And the manual is broken down into different subjects. So we deal with things starting from childhood. We deal, the book deals with removing the blame. It deals with shame. It deals with healing the root cause, walking in truth. And so, and in addition to that, we typically use a supplemental book. At this moment, the book for the class that we are using is called Total Forgiveness by T.K. Rant Kendall, I believe it is. And so we use two books because while the manual digs into and causes revelation to come about, you know, your thought processes and things that could have happened and why things happen this way and why you feel this way, the supplemental book digs a little deeper. And it causes you to begin to now understand why forgiveness is necessary. Because people have to understand that, you know, forgiveness is more for them and not the other person.
Yeah.
Because when you can forgive, you release yourself from the bondage of this person. You relinquish their power and their control over you. And so most definitely, Mr. Billy, if there is someone who would love a copy of the manual, they can contact me, and I will gladly send that to them. And then also we have teachers that are able to come out and teach and run the sessions as well. And we typically do that for the leaders in the church that may be able to teach the class and help them to understand how the class should be run, the protocols, and things like that. We also use different type of supplemental exercises because, you know, people learn in different ways. And so we have a lot of visual aids that we use to get people engaged, to get them open, and we can share all of that material. So if there is a ministry that is interested in that in the Chicago area at the moment, we will gladly be able to come in and train your people regarding this class and how to minister it to those that are in ministry.
Amen. Well, give us that information. Give us that information, Pastor Johnson.
I can be emailed at HelenJohnson@allnationswa.com.
Okay. All right. Well, I will be emailing you. Like that ministry is so vitally important that we know that as leaders that we have to be healed and we have to be aware of the different things that happen in our life and help us to overcome them. Because as leaders, people are always looking at you. And
absolutely.
if you're always say bleeding people make other people bleed. Hurting people hurt people. You can't if you have unforgiveness in your heart and you're wondering why things are not going the way that you want them to go or the way that you think that they should go, then we need to look inwardly a lot of times. We look outwardly and we always say, like Flip Wilson, and I don't know if you know who Flip Wilson is, and I may be telling my age by even referencing him, but the devil made me do it. Everything is the devil made, you know, the devil made me do it, but it's not always the devil that causes us to do the things that we do. It's something that we haven't dealt with in our life, and I like that you put the axe to the root. To get those things out, because we're all dealing with something. Our life, we're always dealing with issues that happen in our life, and they're all relative. They're all relative. You know, you're dealing with something in the church, and it's maybe something that you haven't dealt with in your life that is you know, hindering your growth in the Lord. And so that's awesome.
Absolutely. And it's always easier to point the finger outwardly, but it takes courage to point it inwardly to yourself and admit that you may be the one that has the issue. You may be the problem. And so when you're able to take that finger outwardly and turn it inwardly, then you begin to win the war, because you are always, you know how they say, well, it's said to you more than once, there might be some truth to it. And we do not want to admit that, because it's always somebody else that's wrong. But when you have the courage to say, well, let me allow the Holy Spirit to search my inward parts and reveal to me if there's any truth to that, it's hard to admit that you are the person that other people see.
Yes. Pastor.
You have to put that mirror in front of your face. You know, the two-sided mirrors, you have a part of the mirror where you can see your whole reflection. But then when you turn it over, that side that's magnified, that shows every impurity. When you have to turn that magnified side over and look at yourself, you'll be surprised at what you see. But even though you'll be surprised, that's when the Holy Spirit can really come in and do a work. If you're willing.
Yes. Yes. Create in me a clean heart and renew a right spirit within me. As you were talking, I was thinking about Pastor R.D. Hinton, and he always said, you point that finger out there, and you forget it's three fingers pointing back at you.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yes. Well, now tell us where the church is located.
The church is located currently at 6028 South Champlain. Is in Inglewood. Our service times are 11:30, and our class times begin at 9:30. So we have a new members class, and we have a foundations class, and we now will have, starting this Sunday, a foundations class for our teenagers ages 12 through 18. So we are so excited about that they will be getting more of the word instilled into them on Sunday mornings. And so if you are in Chicago and you want to come and experience the Lord in a way that you've not experienced him before, join us on Sunday mornings at 11:30, and I promise you will be blessed. And what I love about our ministry is, in the beginning, it was built on young people who had a heart for God, and they were excited. And they were prevailing in prayer and in the prophetic. And now to see what God has birthed the church from, it is just amazing, the growth and the desire that people have for God. I just love it. I know everybody loves their ministry, but I love All Nations. It has really, and I really love my apostle. It's something when you have a leader who can see gifts inside of you that you don't even know are there and able to pull them out. What I'm doing now, I would have never thought it was possible. Not just because of where I came from, but just not even knowing that they were there. He is a man of God that will push you, that will challenge you, that will correct you. But it's a correction from a place to cause you to mature, and I love him. I love his wife. She also has a ministry called Normal Life. And the awesomeness about this ministry is that it's for outside of the four walls of the church, which I'm also a part of. And the goal of that ministry is to go out into the world and deal with those who are bound in pornography. And so for the last 3 years, we have went to the porn convention to minister to those who are in the industry. And you have people that say, saints shouldn't be in there. Why not? We're not going to look at things. We are going to minister to the lives of those women that are bound in that industry. And it has been a blessing. And so that's one thing we don't want to talk about in the church is pornography.
Oh,
that's the hidden sin. That's the hidden sin. But so many people are bound with that spirit. And so this ministry is one that exposes that. We're going to talk about it, and we're going to deal with it. And so it has been a blessing. And so I'm just so excited about all of the things that All Nations does and the sub-ministries that have been birthed out of that. We have another ministry called Restoration House from two young ladies in the church where they're dealing with teenage drug trafficking and sexual trafficking. And so they're building a house where they'll be able to house these young girls after they've come out of that type of thing. There's another paraminister, Rafa Healing Ministry, from one of our elders where they have it once a month on Saturdays. Well, you can come and you can get the word of the Lord, but you can be healed at the same time. And so it's just they're doing wonderful things over at All Nations. He's a pastor who is not trying to hold people captive, but he wants you to walk in your purpose. He wants you to walk in your call because he understands that it's bigger than All Nations. Your life is bigger. Your purpose is bigger. That All Nations is a place where you're to learn and where you're to grow. But it's also the place where those things that are inside of you that have been locked are unlocked. And so I'm just excited.
Yeah, that sounds exciting. That sounds exciting. It's several things came into my mind as you were talking. I know that Kirk Franklin a few years ago admitted that he was addicted to pornography. And from him talking about it, other pastors came out or other leaders, because even though he is a entertainer per se, he's a worshiper, but the world calls him an entertainer. He's in leadership. You know, people look up to him. And so by him coming out and saying that, you know, he's had this issue, that brought out, and that really put the spotlight on how many people in the church are addicted to pornography. That's a taboo. I mean, you know, well, once we get saved, we don't have, you know, those. Pastor Linda Jernigan was on, and she was saying, yeah, I asked about her church, and I don't know if you know about her, but she's a friend.
Yes,
and she was saying, I was saying to her, I know that your church is just not about, you know, ex-homosexuals, you know, and she was saying, yes, we have liars and we have thieves and we have fornicators and we have, you know, she just went down the gamut.
Yes.
And then I said, yes, and so and such were some, were such were some of us. And then I said, and such are some of us. You know, we're still struggling, and we still try to hide the things that are happening in our life. And I remember Bishop, Dr., I'm used to calling him Dr. Smith, 35th Street, Apostolic Faith Church,
mm-hmm.
35th Street. And he always says, if you tell on yourself, then the devil doesn't have anything to tell. You know, he can't hold anything over your head if you tell on yourself. But so many of us are afraid to come out and say, this is what I'm struggling with. You're in the hospital. You're in the hospital. The church is the hospital. So you come to the hospital and you don't want to tell the doctor what's wrong with you. That's the trick of
absolutely.
The enemy. That is the trick of the enemy, to keep you silent so that he can keep those imps around you to don't tell that, but then you never get free. And the scripture says when Christ comes in, we have liberty, but we got to walk therein, and we have to accept the liberty. I'm so thankful for you coming on today, and your testimony, just awesome, just so awesome. And as you were talking, I was thinking about, you were saying that you go into the convention of the pornography conventions, and isn't that what Jesus did?
Absolutely.
You know, we scorn that. We scorn, you know, sometimes that we do things that are unconventional. But then wasn't Jesus unconventional? Didn't he do things that people looked at him and said, you're a wine bibber? You eat with publicans. You know, you sit with sinners, and, you know, and but in the midst of him sitting with them, he brought deliverance to them. And that's what your ministry is. I can't wait to have your pastor on, if he will, you know, so graciously consent to be on.
You will be blessed. You will definitely be blessed. And it's so rewarding when we do go to the convention. We're not going in with stickers that say, I'm a believer, I love Jesus. We're going in our jeans and our T-shirts and all of that. And we go in and we talk to the ladies. We ask questions. How did you get in this industry? You know, why are you staying in it? And you will be so amazed how, excuse me, they are open to share their story. And then that allows us to just say something so simple. Can we pray for you? Now, you have some of those who say no, and we say, all right, well, we'll be praying for you in our prayer time. But then you have those who say yes. And what we came to realize, a lot of these young ladies have grown up in church. They are pastor's kids. But because they felt like they were supposed to be this certain person or this certain way or put in this box, they rebelled. And so to be able to go in and hear their stories, to plant those seeds, to pray for them, it's rewarding. And we have to rest in the seed that we've planted. Somebody will come and water it, and that they will grow. And so you won't always see the fruit of your labor in the beginning, but you can't get discouraged because it's not you that's doing the work anyway. It's God. And so we look at it that way. And we just find joy in it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And the scripture says, one waters, one plants, one waters, but God gives the increase.
Absolutely.
We're just to do the work. We're just to get out there and a lot the enemy goes after the prize, and it's not about us, you know. It's about kingdom, and if he can win the enemy over the prize of God, but little does he know, and this is just coming to me. Little does he know that once he gets into or thinks that he has gotten into, God always holds the string of that person. And he always is able to, you know how a magnet attracts.
Mm-hmm.
And once, you know, that person is able to come out, because 9 times out of 10, they do come out of it. 9 times out of 10, you know, not always, it's not always, you know, but 9 times out of 10, they do come out. And when they come out, they're bringing people with them. You know, if you can come out, then I can come out. If you can do it, if God can do that for you, then he can do it for me. So that's what the enemy, doesn't know. He, once you get in, my husband and I went to see Iron Man 3.
Mm-hmm.
And did you see it?
Yes,
you
I
did. May
it.
Not even have. Okay, well, remember when the plane blew up and everybody flew out of the plane, and he grabbed one person, and then they grabbed a person, and then they grabbed a person.
Yes.
Until he was able,
yes,
to save everybody. That's,
yes,
the image. That's the image that I got when you were talking about, you know, you going in there and God giving space for one or two people, or, you know, a mass of people to say, yes, pray for me. You know, yes, I'm not happy being here. I need the Lord. You know, they may have gone into the convention saying, Lord, I don't want to do this. You know, help me, send some help. And you guys are the help that they're sending. We have to come out of the church. we have to come out of the church. We're preaching to ourselves. And let me know, don't go there, Billy.
Yeah, and we have to understand that the church is our training ground. That's where we're empowered. That's where we're encouraged. That's where we're given the tools. But it's to go outside, you know, go into the world. Isn't that what we are instructed to do? To go into the world? That's what we're instructed to do. But we've gotten so stuck in the four walls. And we've got to come into the confidence in who we are. That's one thing that I've learned about the enemy, about Satan. Because here's the thing, the enemy can be yourself. You are your worst enemy. But what Satan has done is he operates in two ways. His strongest wiles against us is ignorance. Because we don't really know who we are. We don't know the authority we have, and we don't really know the power that we possess. And so if he can keep us ignorant of who we are, then he can plant those seeds of deception. But when you come into an understanding of who you are and whose you are and the authority and the power that has been given unto you in Christ, then you are no longer his victims. Will he still continue to attack? Yes, he will. Will you allow him to stab you? Will you allow him to punch you? Will you allow him to knock you down? If an attacker came up on you behind you on the street, are you just going to let, what you going to do? If a bully came up in your face, how long are you going to allow yourself to be bullied? Until you realize, I'm not taking this much more. I'm going to stand up for myself. But here's the thing, we don't stand alone. And we got to understand that. Great is he that is within us. And we shouldn't just use that when we're going through something, but that should be our stand. Every day you wake up, understand and get to know who you are, who you really are in Christ. Because really, aside from him, you can't do nothing. You can't be anything. Not the greatest you were created to be.
Absolutely. And that's how the enemy works. He works in deception and he works in hiding. You know, don't, like Dr. Smith always says or used to say, tell on yourself. Let you know, don't be afraid of, you know, exposing the enemy in your life, because you're exposing him. You're not exposing yourself, really. You know, it's a part of your life, but you're exposing him. And he cannot stay where light is.
Absolutely.
He cannot. His deception is cloaked in darkness. And when you shine that light, hallelujah. Hallelujah. When you shine that light on that darkness, he has to flee. The Bible says for us to flee fornication. That's the only place that it tells us to flee. It says flee fornication. Everything else, we're supposed to stand. We're supposed to stand. And when we have true freedom and true deliverance, that's when we can, like in the Iron Man movie, we can grab someone else and pull them out and save them. Not save them to the point of salvation, you know, from the enemy, but save them, you know, so that they can come into the light and walk into the light. Amen. Amen. Amen.
And if you're a person that continues to walk in shame or be ashamed of who you used to be, you will forever be held captive by the enemy. And so I just now, in the name of Jesus, release that shame off of you, that you will be able to understand who you are in Christ, that you will be able to understand that you are a new creature, and all things old have passed away, and all things have become new. In your mind, in your heart, in your emotions, all things have become new. There is nothing too hard for God. No thing that is too hard for him. There is no thing, nothing in your life that he cannot do. He can change every situation. He can change every circumstance. He can change how you see yourself. He can cause the eyes of your understanding to be enlightened. He can cause you to love yourself in a way that you never loved yourself before. He can cause you to see the greatness inside of yourself. He can cause you to see that you truly are his beloved, that you are fearfully, that you are wonderfully made in his image. He can do that, but you have got to be willing to allow him to. And you cannot do that if you're still walking in shame and you're still walking in condemnation. So I just admonish you today to confess before the Lord. Just confess. He knows it all anyway.
Yes. We must be connected, because that's my saying, no thing. I don't say nothing. I say no thing is too hard. It's too hard for God. And through the testimonies that we have heard over, I am so amazed that we have been broadcasting now for almost a year. It will be a year in November, and you just cannot imagine, Pastor Johnson, the testimonies that we have heard. But each testimony is greater and greater, and I believe that your testimony has been, we've had people that have been raised from the dead. We've had people that have been delivered from, you know, various things. But your testimony, Pastor Johnson, has given light to, it does not matter even what age you are. A lot of times, you know, once we get in the church and we're in the church and we're, you know, up in age or mature, as I like to call it, you know, we feel like, well, this is the way that I am. And God still has so much more for you. If you can release the things, I know that I was raised in a generation where it was said, what goes on in the house stays in the house.
Stays in the house.
And that is a detriment to the kingdom. You know, that mindset. Don't tell. Don't tell what's happening. Don't tell what's happening. You know, don't tell about the secret things that you're dealing with. But you're walking around the church and you're mean.
Yes.
And you're mean because there's something still in you. You cannot walk in the love of God and still be mean. I'm just sorry.
You cannot.
You cannot walk in the love of God and be hateful. And, you know, everybody in the church saying, well, sister so-and-so, she is mean. There's a reason why she's mean. But because we've been cloaked in silence and because we feel like, you know, well, that's for the young people, and that's the church now. We didn't do that back in the day.
Mm-hmm.
But there's liberty. The Bible says, "Where Christ is, there's liberty." Be free. Be free. Our ministries have to. I am just so thankful for the ministry that your pastor has developed and is developing, it's him, but it's God. God is
yes.
using him, and he's opened himself up to the way that God would want things to be, and it is such an awesome blessing to have you on here. And listeners, if you are in the Chicagoland area, even if you're not in the Chicagoland area, Pastor Linda has a pastor, an apostle, that is a true apostle.
Yes.
A developer, a builder. That's what an apostle is. And I see that, not even from even talking about him, but just hearing his ministry. And it didn't just start as Pastor Raleigh Mayberry said, that in high school he started ministering to him.
Yes.
Back in high school, and even before he started pastoring, you know. So, amen, amen. Awesome, awesome, awesome. I'm just so thankful to God. Every Saturday, the Lord just keeps doing amazing things. And to have you on, to have you on to allow people to hear, there is hope. I don't care if you've been saved for 30 years, 1 year, 50 years. God is always doing something and allowing his people to come closer to him. And to come closer to him because we're magnets and we're supposed to be drawing people, you know, all the time. A lot of us have become stagnant. And we're stagnant because there are still things that we're dealing with in our lives. And as you were talking about forgiveness, there are still, I have unforgiveness in myself. And I recognize that. And it's so amazing that I was talking to my cousin and she was saying some things. And, of course, you don't want to hear them. You know, like, oh, yeah, I don't want to hear that. You know, but then God said, no, I want you to get this. So you're saying some of the same things that she said to me. You know, you weren't particularly talking to me, but you're talking to me. Everybody that comes on this broadcast, and that's the amazing thing about God. So God bless you. And thank
Amen.
You so much. So
you
now
are so welcome.
I thank you for your prayer, but I'm going to ask you again to just give us, we still have a little time, still have like, you know, a little over 20 minutes to go on. Is there anything else that you want to share with us? You've emptied yourself out, but once we empty ourselves out, God always is there willing to fill us back up for us to empty some more. So do you have anything else that you can share with us?
I sure can. One thing I do want to admonish to whoever is listening to this broadcast or who will listen to this broadcast, self-condemnation will block forgiveness of yourself. You have to forgive yourself. God has already forgiven you when you repent. One thing that I had to learn in entering into my relationship with Christ was that three things I had to do. I had to cry out where I was. I had to confess some things about myself, about how I felt, about how I felt about other people. Then I had to give him consent to come in and do the work that needed to be done. And so I just admonish you today, cry out from where you are. Where you are. Here's the thing. We have to love people where they are. If God didn't love me where I was, I wouldn't be where I am today. Yes, we may have those people that irritate us, that get on our nerves, that work us to the core. But if you are in Christ, the greatest thing that you can offer them is love. And so I just admonish you to love those hard people today. Let them see who you are by your love. And here's the thing also, don't allow your history to hold you back at the expense of your destiny. I heard Bishop Jake say that on his Life Class series, and that right there just did something on the inside of me. Don't allow your history to hold you back at the expense of your destiny. So if you've allowed shame and fear of who you are or who you were to hold you back from becoming who God has called you to be, it's time to let that go. It is time to let that go. And I want to share with you all a poem that Holy Spirit allowed me to write. And poetry was something that I never, ever even knew was on the inside of me. But it was through the process of becoming that all of these poems just stopped pouring out of me. And so the name of this poem is called Upon This Rock. And it goes, my house seems so solid and secure, built with bricks for a sound foundation. Thought nothing could rattle its structure nor dismantle its frame, but I was wrong. The storms came and began to shake the very foundation. Cracks began to rise in the beauty of its appearance. Those things of exquisite perfection began to unravel at the seams. destruction and torment had entered the passageway. Uninvited, but yet had found residence within the walls. Now what was once pleasing to the eye had become a thorn in the flesh. Everything was done, patchwork here, tuck point there, but it was only a mask hiding the damage which was occurring underneath. All the cosmetic work could not hide what was happening before my eyes, reaching out for all kinds of help, but there was nothing anyone could do. So I fell down on my knees and cried out, "Lord, what should I do?" The words that were heard through my ears resounded in my spirit and penetrated my soul. Upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Revelation, guidance, and instruction were released after repentance went forth, and all that had stolen my focus from building on solid foundation was seen through the eyes of understanding. As God began to repair and restore, the cracks began to miraculously heal. Those things which had become unraveled began to mend. And the unwanted guests, destruction and torment, ran out the door. Once faith and obedience began to reside, their friends, peace, love, and joy became permanent residents too. Now the foundation, which was once unattractive in its appearance, the foundation which had been built by the hands of man and influenced by the desires of this world, the foundation which had become a place of torment and unrest, the foundation which was about to self-destruct, had been resurrected and restructured. As this foundation was now being built on a rock that could handle any storm, a rock that would not be tossed back and forth by the winds of life which blew, a rock that will not become weak by the seasons of change, a rock, a solid, firm, and sure rock that will stand forever.
Amen. Amen, amen, amen. God will be creative, and he will cause us to be creative. I would love to, if you could, I don't know if you have that, if you could send that to me, I would love to post that on the website, on not the website, but on the group. And as I was going to put your name on the group, I saw that Pastor, did you get my message? I saw that Pastor Mayberry had already added you
yes.
to the group. I said, look at God. He already knew. He didn't even know that she was going to be a guest on the program. We just... You know, he just wanted you to be a part of the group, and that's just a blessing. So if you, now that you're a part of the group, you can please share that with us so that people can hear about that rock. Amen. Amen. I'm so thankful and just so blessed by your testimony today. And before we go, could you just pray again over the broadcast so that, and then I know that my husband is going, well, I want my husband to say something. He doesn't like to always say anything, but.
Amen. Before I pray, I want to say to you, the Minister Billy, that I thank God for this ministry that you are doing. They overcame because you are allowing people to expose the enemy. You are allowing people an avenue where they are able to touch the lives of somebody that may be struggling with something, somebody that may be going through something. And you don't know that the day that your broadcast airs, if they were about to commit suicide, if they thought that this was the end for them. And so I just thank you for allowing Holy Spirit to give this impartation to you and for you being obedient and moving in it, even when you didn't understand it, even when you didn't know how it was going to come, and even when sometimes you don't know from week to week who your guest is going to be, but because you trust him, because you lean not to your own understanding, and you acknowledge him in all your ways, I thank him that every crooked place is being made straight, I thank him that every need is met, every financial need that you meet, that you need for this broadcast to continue. I thank you for new open doors. I thank you for the new lives that will come, that will share their testimony. I thank you for your sacrifice. I thank you for the sharing of your time. I thank you for your life. I thank God for everything that you went through to understand how necessary this is in the earth. Thank you for availing yourself to the leading of Holy Spirit. I so appreciate you. I don't know you in person, but I know you by the Spirit. I know your desire is to see people healed, delivered, and set free, and walking progressively in a place of wholeness, in a place of healing. I thank God for you.
Absolutely. Thank you. Someone was just sent me a message over Facebook the other day saying, you know, that same thing to me. You know, and a dear friend of mine, and I told her, I said, pray for me because I am a minister, you know, and have been stagnant for a while. But when God gave this to me, you know, I always loved the testimonies that we had in the church. And I remember, you know, how empowering the testimonies were, you know, when you hear about what God is doing in someone's life, it empowers you. Oh, okay, then yeah. If he did that for Pastor Helen, you know, crack cocaine, you know, for her just to, and that you can say, you know, some people's deliverance is immediately.
Yes.
Immediately they're delivered. But then some people have to go through the process. So I need to hear that it wasn't an immediate thing for you. Pastor Jernigan said, you know, it was a progression. You know, God, okay, do this. No, I don't want to do that one. Why aren't you here, Lord? Because I don't deal with disobedience. Okay, I'll do it. People need to hear that. And I just thank God for Evangelist Adrienne Bernard. We're under her umbrella, New Destiny Ministries, and I forgot to even say anything about her this morning, but she's the one that allowed us to develop this ministry, and I'm so thankful to her, you know, for giving us this time to do what the Lord has called us to do, my husband and myself. So I just thank God. And yes, I'm amazed myself at, like you said, from week to week, I was so overcome. I caught my husband weeping after I spoke with you the other day, and I said, God is just so awesome. Baby, he provided us another guest, you know, someone that we don't know, but we're connected in the spirit. So thank you. And can please keep us in your prayer. Can we will keep you in our prayers too.
Amen. I so appreciate it. We've got to pray one for the other.
Yes, we
do. Hold each other up.
Yes, we do. So now, would you pray for us before?
I sure will. Father, in the name of
Jesus. Wait. Before you pray, let me get my husband on. Honey,
okay.
That's what I call. I call him honey. His name is Albert Burns, but he's my honey. Are you there, baby?
Good morning, Pastor.
Good morning.
It was just a thrill to hear your testimony this morning. As it just always is great to hear God's people testify of his goodness. And I know often throughout the show, I know the theme is they overcame. But so often the secondary theme that runs through the show, based upon people's testimonies, it just over and over and over and over again just answers the question, is there anything too hard for God? And then, of course, the answer to that is there is no thing too hard for God. And we just thank God for his goodness, his
Amen.
Faithfulness, and thank God for you, your encouragement to us, to the world, to the saints. And we just thank you for being with us this morning and being so open and sharing. And I just thank God because I even have a testimony myself to share with the audience this morning, how God just is faithful. I think about the time, and my wife and I often comment how good God is, because probably about 7 or 8 years ago, I was still employed with Ford Motor Company, and a very major corporation, but in the auto industry. And I was well paid at Ford Motor Company. But because of the auto industry woes, I ended up unemployed from them. And life has just been such a challenge for us ever since. Now, it hasn't been a challenge or a struggle for God. And when we think about it, it really shouldn't have even been that much of a struggle or challenge for us, because we know that we're in God's hands. But through it all, God has granted me to become employed again at a mere fraction of what I used to earn. But somehow God has sustained us, and our lifestyle really isn't that much different. We still have all of our bills paid. We still have food. We have a roof over our head. We have transportation. God's just been faithful through it all. And there was a time just recently that because of the situation of where I work for the state of North Carolina, we were quite behind in a lot of work. And so all of a sudden there was this liberal overtime policy. And that was just a blessing. I just used that as a supplement to our income. God blessed us with it, and I took full advantage of it, and it was a blessing. Then one day we got new leadership, and they began to look at things and decided as of next week or within a couple of weeks, then all overtime is done. So this happened maybe about a month ago. And maybe not quite a month ago. But, you know, that was kind of really discouraging for a lot of people. I didn't really sneeze at it because I just know God's got us. And lo and behold, I had put in on a job a little while ago, was interviewed, and just came out of that interviewing just knowing in myself and in the spirit that I nailed it. I just, you know, when it was one of those where you just walk out and like, okay, if they don't hire, there's no reason for them not to hire me. I know that that was the interview. And they let me know that they would let us know probably within 2 or 3 weeks or so, because it would have to go through whatever red tape thing the state. Well, this went on for quite a while. And, you know, we talk about how Satan just tries to mess with our mind. And there were just certain things that I saw around work that sometime would come and try to discourage me, because I know one of the team that I would be supervising, that team leader actually interviewed as well. And all of a sudden, I noticed them spending a lot of time with who was going to be the manager, and the manager spent a lot of time over in her cube, and sometimes that would just kind of not set well in my spirit. Then I would just encourage myself, but you know what, no matter what it looks like, God's got me. And then I noticed even on some of the distributions as the emails went out that she was kind of named up with some of the supervisors, and I got a little discouraged about that just for a minute. And then I said, well, no, she's the team leader, and she's all that they got right now, so they just got to include her. And I just every time Satan came to try to discourage me, I would encourage myself And then lo and behold, last week or earlier this week, when I came back from lunch and opened up my email, there was a note from the director that says, stop by to see me this afternoon. And I went in, and she offered me the job. And, I mean, I was just beside myself and just looking at how faithful God is. I just believed it. I held on to it throughout all the discouragement, and God blessed me with that thing. And then when she showed me the salary, I had already calculated what I thought it was going to be based upon, you know, just what I knew of the agency. And so I didn't remember what the raw number was, but I did remember calculating about how much of an increase it was going to be, and it wasn't that much. But when she showed me the figure, she said, I wish it could be more. And I just kind of jokingly said, I do too. But then when I looked at it later and did the calculation, it was more of an increase than I was anticipating. And as I was looking at it today, I realized that basically that increase is pretty much going to replace what was a good overtime month for me. So that overtime was snatched away, but God replaced it with a promotion that I don't have to depend on overtime to try to make up that difference. God is just good, and I just thank him for it. And I just want to encourage everyone, just trust in God. God's got your back. He's got angels encamped around about you. They'll bail you up lest you dash your foot against a stone. He's just got everything for you. He's got you in the hollow of his hand. He's got you gathered under his wings. You're just covered by God. And I just thank God for that. And just wanted to share that with the listening audience, that whatever it is that you need, just ask God according to his word. Just ask him, believe that you receive it, and you shall receive it. And God's just got your back. And I just thank God for that testimony today of my own. And I give it back to the host. I get a little happy and carried away here, so take it away.
Amen and hallelujah. It's amazing, honey, as you were talking, that we're not even half of what you were making at Ford, but God is faithful. God is faithful and sustaining us. It's just amazing. We thought we were, you know, just barely making it with what you were making, and here we are at less than what you're making, and still God is sustaining us, and we're happy. We still, you know, have our little date nights, and we can still do our little things that we do together, and we will be celebrating 28 years of marriage next month, so I just bless God for my honey.
And I thank God for you, too.
Thank you, baby. I have a question for you, Pastor Johnson. Someone just texted me who's on the line. She doesn't want to say anything, but she said, how long were you how long were you addicted to?
It was for 2 years, particularly on crack. Like I said, progressively, it started out slow, but then it progressed.
So how long were you using drugs? How long were you using drugs?
Probably since the age of 16, starting from marijuana and then working it up all the way until the age of 26.
Wow.
And so I'm 46 now, so 20 years of total deliverance. So God is able.
Yes, he is. Yes, he is. Yes, he is. I'm asking you to pray for, like you were saying, once you're in something,
then you can have compassion for someone else. And like my girlfriend, she's my dear sister. I love her so much, and I've now adopted into the family because they see the love that I have for her. And her name is Rosemary. I won't give her last name, but please keep her, remember her in prayer. And I am definitely, because she's in Chicago, as a matter of fact, she just moved pretty near where your church is. She just moved pretty near there. And so I'm going to give her the address of your church and maybe give her your number, or you get her number, and maybe you can call her and invite her out to the services.
Yes, please do. Please do.
Okay. All righty. Okay, well, then, can you just give us a prayer to seal this awesome testimony session that we've had this morning? I invite you all to please share the broadcast with your friends, your family. I even say your enemy. Share the broadcast. Everybody needs to hear what God is doing, because he's doing great and amazing things in spite of we're like Gosher. We're here and everything is happening around us, but it's not coming near us because of God's love and protection. And us coming into the ark of safety, because he loves everybody, but we have to accept him and come into his safety for him to, for us to experience the things that we're experiencing. We'll have our trials and our tests, and we're always going to have those because they mature us and build us, but God. So,
Father, we bless you and we thank you for this day that you have made, and we shall choose to rejoice and be glad in it. Father, regardless of the situations or the circumstances that may be before us, God, we thank you that our lives are in your hands, God. God, you told us that he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall remain stable, and they shall be under your shadow, God. We thank you that you are our refuge, our fortress, and our very present help in the time of trouble. Father, I thank you, God, for every listener on today, God. I thank you that you arm them with the strength that they need to make it through, God. I thank you that you allow them to understand, God, that you are their way maker, God. I thank you that you are the friend to the friendless, God, and you are mother to the motherless. God, I thank you now that you can become everything that they need in their lives, God. Where they have been hopeless, God, I thank you, God, that the joy of their salvation, God, would cause them, God, to rejoice once again. God, I thank you, God, where they've allowed situations to overtake them and overpower them, Father. I thank you that your light comes in and shines in dark places, oh God, that they may understand, God, that there is hope in you. Father, I thank you now in the name of Jesus for any person that may be struggling with addiction on today, oh God. I thank you that your love for them never changes, God. I thank you that you love them right where they are, God. I pray, God, that you would send those that will plant seeds, oh God, for them to understand who they are. God, I thank you now in the name of Jesus that you would send those that will water the seed, oh God. God, I thank you that you would send those, oh God, that would begin to speak life into every dead place in their life. God, I thank you now in the name of Jesus. God, I thank you for who you are in this earth. God, I thank you for who you are in the lives of these, your people, Father. God, I thank you that each day we're given a new mercy, oh God, to come into the understanding of who we are in you. God, I thank you, God, that you've given us power and authority, oh God. I thank you, God, that we are called joint heirs in Christ. God, I thank you, God, that we are created in your image and we are created in your likeness, Father. God, I thank you, God, that the Holy Spirit goes into the inward parts and begins to dig deep, oh God, and causes us to see, God, who we are in you. And, Father, I thank you that today, where people have been blinded and understanding who they are in you, God, that the eyes of their understanding may be enlightened, God. I pray for a heart of repentance for those, God, Lord, that may still be bound and entangled in drugs. Cause them to understand, God, that repentance opens the door. God, I thank you that you've already forgiven them. Help them to forgive themselves, God. Father, we thank you, God, that you're restoring joy, God, that you're restoring peace, God, that you are making every crooked place straight. God, I thank you that those who abide in you, you abide in them, Father. God, I bless you now in the name of Jesus, that even through this broadcast and today, that you would go in and minister to the hearts of your people, God. I thank you that they will enter into a relationship with you that cannot be broken by the cares of life, by circumstances, by situations, that they no longer will be tossed to and fro. But God, I thank you now that they find stability in you as they understand who they are in Christ. Father, I bless you for this day. I bless you for their lives. I bless you for their health. I bless you for their strength. God, I thank you that everything pertaining life is given unto them. Father, I thank you for the host of this broadcast. God, I thank you that according to Isaiah 54 and 10, though the mountains may move and the hills disappear, God, your love and your faithfulness towards them remain. And God, that your covenant of blessing over their lives shall never be broken. And so we bless you and we thank you. In the name of Jesus, it is so. And amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you again, Pastor Johnson. I say it's like my wedding day. I smile so when I'm listening to the testimonies, and I get such joy out of it. You know how on my wedding day, I smiled so until my cheeks were aching because I was just so happy that I couldn't stop smiling. And that's how I feel when I'm listening to the testimonies. I just get so much joy out of hearing, you know, what God is doing. And like I said, each Saturday that we do the broadcast, it gets better and better. But yours epitomizes to me what God is doing, you know, in your testimony, in your pastor, the things that he's doing, the different ministries that are being birthed and carried out in the ministry that you are part of. And I just thank God. And please, you know, get the word to him that I would love for him to be on the broadcast and would love to get his information so that I can speak to him and have him to come on and share with us his testimony. And I thank God that, you know, we, back home, we had testimonies. Everybody testified. Our pastor, our, you know, the leadership, they all testify. Nobody too big to give a testimony to God, and nobody is so, you know, high that they can't share. And I just thank God that I've had several pastors on the line that have come and given their testimony to tell of the goodness of God and the things that God is doing in their life, so that, you know, that we put them on a pedestal. We put pastors on a pedestal, and we don't know, you know, the cost of the oil in their alabaster box. We don't know the cost. You don't have a high anointing, and you had a life of ease. You don't. You don't. Yeah. You can have a good ministry, and you can have an awesome ministry, but I believe, and maybe I'm, you know, I don't want to offend anybody, but I believe the greatest testimony is, and not to make anybody's testimony small, because my husband was raised in the church. He was, you know, a pew baby, and his legacy is pastors and, you know, ministers and missionaries, and his mom, who just passed a few years ago, 93, I think, when she passed, had just retired from ushering in the church and in the national functions that our organization has. So he has a legacy, and we had a pastor that was on, and they were saying that they didn't know that they had a testimony. You know, they didn't have a testimony because, you know, they've been in the church. I've never drank. I've never, you know, done this. So what's my testimony? That's your testimony. That's your
Absolutely.
Testimony. You know, but I believe that the greater testimony, I shouldn't say that. I believe that every testimony is important. Just to me, I just get excited thinking about how, you know, God can take someone that seems so low and bring them up to a point where he can shine a spotlight on them and say, you know, this is what God has done.
Yes, he is a redeemer of time, most definitely.
Absolutely, absolutely. And again, I just want to thank Pastor or Evangelist Adrienne Bernard of New Destiny Ministries. She broadcasts every day from 1 o'clock Pacific time, because she's in California, 3 o'clock Central time, and 4 o'clock Eastern time every day. And she has awesome men and women of God that come on and teach and preach the Word of God. And you can go into the archives and listen to any of the broadcasts. Every last one of her broadcasts and my broadcast, you can go into the archives and listen to. So join us again next Saturday. Thank you so much, Pastor Johnson, for coming on again.
I will be getting
in touch with you to get the various information, and God bless you. And oh, before you go, let me, honey, are you still there?
Thank you so much again.
Wait a minute before you go, honey.
Yes.
Okay. Please say a prayer for Pastor Johnson before she goes.
Amen. Father, in Jesus' name, we just love you for your goodness. We love you for your faithfulness. We love you and we worship you because of who you are. You are our God, our provider, our keeper, our sustainer. Everything that we need is in you. And Lord God, we just look to you right now according to your word, because you said, cast all our cares upon you, for you care for us. Right now, we hold up Pastor Johnson in the name of Jesus. Father, just let her flourish in the things that you have for her. Whatever, Lord God, those things right now that you are turning over in her mind, in her spirit, in her heart, that she just might be still wondering how and what to do. But, Lord God, just settle in her spirit to let her know that she's on the right path, and just to trust you continually and follow you, and no matter how the way seems, to just follow you, because we know that you know the way. You have a set course. You have an expected end for her. And now, Lord God, just let her walk in the fruition of that thing. Lord God, bless her and her house. Hallelujah. Just prosper it in the name of Jesus in a mighty way. For your word said that ye shall supply all of our need according to your riches and glory. Let there just be a deliverance that just emanates from even just like in the Bible days with even the passing and the casting of her shadow. Lord God, yes, that the path that you lead her in, that men and women will just continue to turn to the Lord because of the light and the magnificent testimony and the great life that she lives in the Spirit. Father, right now, just prosper her in every way and every work that you have for her. Let it just be made plain to her, and let her have a blessed assurance that it is your will, what you have planted in her heart and in her mind. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
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 And we speak that the high school years of your daughter, she will be a shining example of what it is to be Christ-like. That she will be an example of Christ to her peers, and that she will draw them to Christ. Jesus' name.
Amen.
All right. Well, thank you so much for coming on. I just bless you, and I thank God for our guests. They didn't want to say anything, so I usually open up the lines, but the guest that I saw on, he didn't want to say anything. But I know that people are listening, and I want to thank my family for listening. I want to thank those that listen and let me know that they're listening by way of Facebook. You know, I just thank God for you, and keep us in your prayers as we pray for you. And as our theme song is playing, we just want you to praise God. We just want to thank you. And until next week, we just want to praise Him. I just want